Well, I have the privilege of kind of kicking it off, and actually BJ is the main speaker tonight. I'm just framing all of the talks, and I want to just say a couple of things. We hit this theme of fleeing lusts and pursuing holiness, which is obviously a huge, huge topic. I mean, you know, it's not just sex, it's not just money, food, drink, anger, the tongue. I mean, what are the things that we can get addicted to and need God to help us to flee? The list is legion. But we come to that and we want to get some focus. So we have a battle plan. Obviously, it is God who is at work in us, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's the Spirit of God who's mortifying the deeds of the flesh. We know that without that, we can go nowhere. We can do nothing. But we're still trying to ask the question, is this just a let go and let God kind of a thing? Or is there a role for us to play? Of course, there's a role for us to play, and we want to play it well. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. I just have a few things to say here. We want to flee lusts, youthful lusts. We want to pursue holiness. How do we do it? We don't want to be addicted to pornography. We don't want to be addicted to alcohol. We don't want to be addicted to food. We don't want to be addicted to gossip. We want to be men of honor. Well, how do we do that? Look at what Timothy says. This is what Paul says to Timothy. Verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline or train or exercise yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline or exercise is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So we've got this admonition, or Timothy had this admonition, which I don't think anybody struggles with being applicable to us, to train ourselves to exercise ourselves. This word, we get our word gymnasium from that word. Exercise yourselves for the purpose of godliness. Obviously, one can make a quick analogy, and Paul makes it right here, to bodily exercise. And what is it that goads somebody to do bodily exercise? I can remember when I played sports in high school, really, it was for the hope that you could make the starting team. I don't think anybody was thinking, hey, I love exercise in and of itself, and no one was thinking, you know, I'll just be fitter. At least a bunch of high school guys weren't thinking like that, but we were looking for the reward. I can remember when I was a sophomore, and I broke my wrist playing football, and I wanted to play basketball, but it was my shooting wrist that was broken. And so the coach, you know, all through the tryouts for the team, my wrist was broken, so I didn't shoot a single shot. The coach said, look, he said, there's only 12 men on the team. He said, I'm going to put you on as a 13th. He said, because I like your hustle. I looked at how you played in junior high. He said, but we only have 12 uniforms. And so I'm going to put you on as the 13th man. And he said, every week you're going to be playing to get a uniform. And a few weeks into the season, my cast came off. And man, oh man, I worked hard because I didn't want to be sitting on the bench in the old uniforms. You know, there were girls in the stand. And if I wasn't going to play, at least I wanted to have the regular uniform. So I worked my tail off. And most of the times, I sat on the bench, but most of the times I had a nice uniform. I beat somebody out, and that Poor sucker had to wear the last year's uniform. There's some sort of reward. I'm willing to do it because I see some sort of reward. And we see that same idea here. Notice what he says. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Why? Godliness is profitable for all things. It holds promise for the present life. There's a benefit right now. You know what one of the biggest benefits to godliness is right now? It just makes life easier. You're not always conflicting with people. You're not always having to lie to cover up your behavior. You're able to put your head on the pillow at night with a clear conscience. So there's a benefit right now, but look what it says. It's also for the life to come. He's really directing our vision to the future. And he's giving us, by doing so, the blueprint, because this has to be done by faith. How do we flee youthful lusts and pursue holiness? We can only do it by faith. What is faith? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Because I'm looking to that reward, you must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. That's what the man of faith understands. So because I'm looking to that reward, I'm willing to deny myself certain visceral pleasures because that reward is worth it. Wearing that jersey, that nice jersey, even sitting on the bench, that was worth it to bust my chops during the week during practice. We get that reinforced if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, in this context, Paul is admonishing Timothy to suffer for the gospel. But I think you'll see the same principle that was in seed form articulated in terms of pursuing godliness is here as well. Look at verse 3. He says, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive the share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." You know what's similar in all three of those metaphors? The soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. What's similar in all three of those? They're willing to make a present sacrifice in order for a future reward. What's the reward of the soldier? The pleasure of the one who's enlisted him. He wants to be found pleasing to his commanding officer. What's the reward of the athlete? Well, that's obvious. The wreath in our day, it's the gold medal. And what modern day athletes put themselves through, my goodness. And how about for the farmer? What's the reward for the farmer? He's willing to work hard. If you have any farmers in your family, you know these are working guys. They're willing to work hard in order that he might harvest the crop. There's a future reward. You see, that's the faith idea. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so we're goaded here in the pastoral epistles by the idea that if I'm going to train myself, if I'm going to exercise myself, if I'm going to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness, which has benefit right now, today, but it has benefit for all eternity, I'll only do it to the extent that I've got my vision, I've got my sight, I've got my eyes fixed on the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so as we go through a lot of specifics today and tomorrow, I want us to continue to think about the fact that this is a fight of faith. We're fighting to believe that the gospel is true. We're fighting to believe that there is a reward, and it's so fantastic, it's so glorious, it's worth disciplining ourselves. It's worth exercising ourselves spiritually. It's worth training ourselves for the purpose of godliness.